Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Welcome back. Hello. Hello, witchy friends.
I didn't realize you were gonna fucking sing.
I thought I would.
I like it. It's a nice touch.
Brooke asked me to do if I wanted to do the intro, and I did not tell her I was about to burst down to song.
I love it. It's like Hamilton up in here. I know nothing about Hamilton. Have you watched that? I don't know anything about that.
No, I know absolutely nothing except that it's Shakespeare, right?
Oh,
Shakespeare? Am I wrong?
I don't think so. I do not think it's Shakespeare.
So I know nothing.
Well, Kayla has been trying to get me to watch it, and I keep telling her, I'm like, I'm not gonna watch it. She sent me like a bunch of clips the other night of this.
It's a musical, right?
Yeah, and
I fucking hate musicals. I just can't do them.
I don't like it. I think they're corny. I think it's cheesy. It's not funny to me. I'm not into plays, period. I know there's a lot of people who are like, I love the play Wicked, like blah blah. I'm like, I don't fucking like blah, blah, blah.
So yeah, I'm the same way where I like, so I have the book and I've read Wicked and I want to reread it, but I'm not really into plays and musicals, and I don't want people to break out into song when you know, when this girl hands someone a coffee and it's magical and like all of a sudden we're singing, because to an extent, I like to relate to movies, and for some reason, people singing too much, like, when you're singing, like, that you're making your bed, and you're eating a hot dog, and you're, like, waxing your legs, like, I don't sing when I do those things, so it's kind of weird that you're singing doing those things to me.
You don't sing when you're eating a hot dog. What do you mean?
It's just unrelatable, but it, I don't know. I think it, I don't know. I just don't like them that much.
I think that's honestly, that might be why I don't like them too. Cause I can't relate to it. I'm just like,
who does that?
Yeah. It's just, I'm just not into it. Okay. I'm just.
Same. I mean, I am so not into it that I thought it was Shakespeare.
For real, I kind of also thought it was Shakespeare as well. And you know what else I'm not into that everybody was crazy about? That movie with Emma Stone in it a few years back, that it was a play. It was a musical, mm-hmm. And it was her and another dude, mm-hmm. And it looked really cute.
Oh, was it Les Miserables?
That's another one. Les Mis. I didn't know how to say Les Mis until like senior year of high school, and like all these drama and theater kids were like, oh my god, and I was like, what is Les Miserables?
Me, no.
Is that what I'm gonna be when quarantine's over? Les Miserables?
I mean, I hope so. Oh, I was thinking of Hamlet with Shakespeare.
Okay,
it's Hamilton, and I was thinking like Hamlet because I heard Hamilton was a play, and I was like, oh, it's Shakespeare.
I'm looking up that I know that Emma Stone was in a freaking musical. Hold on, it was called La La Land. It came out in 2016.
Mm. Yep. Yeah,
and I love her, but I didn't ever watch the movie because I don't fucking like musicals.
Yeah. Are we psychopaths for not liking musicals, or are we psychopaths, or are the people who like musicals psychopaths? Because, like, some people think I'm just insane that I don't like plays. I mean, because I am, like, I'm a very artsy person, and I love the arts. but I hate plays.
You know,
which is a huge part of the arts, but I don't like it.
I think, honestly, you remember when we went to see that Shakespeare play a long time ago at the Blackfriars playlist or playlist, mm-hmm. playlist, playhouse?
Yeah.
The Blackfriars fucking shit. Okay, this is just a quick disclaimer, y'all. Sorry that we didn't post on Wednesday, but this is why. Our brains are fried. I'm tired.
This week, our brains have just gone to mush.
My brain has taken a beating.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, there goes my microphone. My brain has taken a beating. Her brain has taken a beating. You're just, yeah. Okay.
It's one of those weeks.
It's one of those weeks. So if you're not in it, if you're not here for the laughs today, your dog, you might want to leave because we are here for the laughs. But anyways, we went years and years ago and we saw
what did we see?
It was a Christmas play, wasn't it? What was it?
It was Romeo and Juliet, wasn't it?
No.
No?
I don't remember what it was. I remember.
I can't remember.
A few people went with us, and I think maybe, you know, like, we grew up near that playhouse, so we probably had to go a lot for school and stuff. Maybe that's why we aren't crazy about plays.
Maybe.
Maybe I would watch a play if it was centered around witchcraft. I probably would be interested in that.
Yeah. I would totally watch. Especially, and I think also, like, the Blackfriars Playhouse, if you're listening to this and you live in Virginia. I mean, you don't have to live in Virginia to go there. I don't think you can go there right now anyway. But one day when the world is back to normal, you should go. That's a really great – if you are, like, if you don't love plays, like, you'll just love the experience of going to Blackfriars. And just, like, just being there is exciting in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place, but I just feel like
I liked being there more than I liked watching the play.
Yeah, I liked going more for the experience to say that I went and saw a play rather than to sit there through however many acts of a play, and it was just, like, miserable. Also, Kayla told me this week, she was like, oh, you are an English major? What do you mean you don't like plays? English majors are, like, synonymous with theater kids. I was like, how fucking dare you ever call me a theater kid? I was never a theater kid, okay? That's a specific niche-ass person, and I'm not a theater kid.
Yeah, yeah. I have a few English major friends, and none of them were theater kids.
Theater kids were the ones that ran up and down the hallways singing to themselves in school, and I was not that person, okay?
Yeah.
I was not that kid.
So the theater kids in high school, because I was in arts in high school, and I was the art kid, if I, like, identified as anything, but the theater kids actually kind of really intimidated me. And a lot of people intimidated me in high school because I was kind of quiet, but the theater kids kind of scared me because they were just so, like, they were just so outgoing and, like, they fucking knew who they were. Mm-hmm. And they just, they have, like, they don't give a shit. And I was like, good for you, but you also scare me because I was quiet and emotional and angsty and, like, leave me alone to paint.
Yeah, they really did.
All over the place and dancing and singing. And I was like, am I supposed to be this mad at you for singing? Like, I just, sorry if you're a theater kid. I like theater kids. Their confidence essentially scared me because I wasn't confident in high school. But I'm not a theater kid.
And they did always have, like, their little niche group of friends. I felt like theater kids always really stuck together. And, I don't know. It was, like, a very specific ass genre. How did we get on this topic? How the fuck did we open this podcast up with Hamilton?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
It's a brain dumping kind of day.
Yeah.
We are about to brain dump this episode with some fun witchy shit, though.
Yeah, so sorry that we just started that out with Hamilton, but honestly, if you're a Hamilton lover and you also listen to this podcast, I'm not shitting on Hamilton. I just don't really care about it.
Same.
I just don't. It's not for me. I mean, yeah, no, I can't even swing it any which way that I look at it. Nope. But if you guys hear any thunder or anything in the background, it is still storming really hard here in Virginia right now. So if you have to listen to that, maybe it's aesthetic for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's
yeah.
Storm ASMR.
Right.
But,
I mean, it's setting the vibes.
So we did not record on Sunday earlier this week as we normally do, because as this always happens with us, like, we both the same day we're feeling the same exact type of way, and I'm gonna like just attribute it to me being a little bit too elevated, if you know what that means, for too many days on end. I'm not gonna say it in case, you know, this comes back to bite me in the butt. However, sometimes when one becomes too elevated for too long, one experiences somewhat of a hangover without alcohol. So, yeah, I felt like a freaking bus hit me.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I was just, I don't know. Yeah, I just felt like a bus had hit me and left me in the street to just die. That's honestly, it's been emotional, it's been stressful, and it's been very, like, almost anticlimactic. Like, sometimes when I have weeks like that, I can almost, like, kind of feel it wearing away, like, wearing off, and me feeling more normal again, or whatever it is, and then one day sometimes I just start feeling better. But it's been anticlimactic, and I think that's just a combination of like how I'm feeling emotionally, and then I've been putting up with a lot of work stress. So it's like, even though I'm trying to heal myself emotionally and fix the feelings that I'm feeling right now, I'm like also stressed out at work, so I can't escape the stress. So it's like I eliminated something, but then like I got more.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
We didn't know whether to attribute this to the whole like Lionsgate thing that apparently happened on the 8th. I'm not even going to sit here and act like I fully understand anything about it, because I didn't look that much into it. This was the first year I'd ever heard of it. I'm pretty sure it's the first year you've ever heard of it. And like,
yeah,
from what I understand, it's just like a lot of really strong energy, apparently. Yeah. I don't know.
When I read about it, I was like, yeah, I kind of had the same feeling of like, oh, maybe that is it. But I also like wasn't sure, and I hadn't heard of it before, and it's not something that I've done like any kind of major research on by any means. I learned what Lionsgate was through TikTok, because I follow some witches on TikTok, and they posted about it, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And then I Googled it, and that's mildly, you know, like the extent. But yeah, I got the overall feeling too, that it's just like, there's a lot of energy, and maybe that's like, it almost to me feels like there's a lot of pressure. There's so much energy that there's like pressure in the energetic field. Like it like needs to pop. And that's kind of how I feel, is that I like need to pop and like release some of this energy, like whether it's good or bad, there's just like so much of it. And then it wasn't on Lionsgate Day, which was the 8th, but you got your pattern told you like something, or what told you, was it your horoscope that told you like something really big was going to happen in an evening?
Yeah, my like horoscope told me that like, no, wait, I think it, no, this was like yesterday or the day before. It was like it was a tarot card I pulled, and it was
that's right. I have a bad memory.
Talking about how the nighttime was like my time or something. I don't really remember what it said. I'd have to go back and look at the picture. I don't know. I used to, when I was writing my first book, I would always write at night, like in the dark. I would just sit, and this is horrible for my your eyes. I know, I don't care. I would sit in the dark on my laptop and I would just write for hours. And I always thought of myself as like this night owl person. And I don't really consider myself an evening person anymore. Like about around this time, normally I'm like laying in bed, like getting ready to start winding down, even though I don't go to sleep till like 2. I still like to be in bed by like 9 just to chill out. But like, I don't really consider myself an evening person anymore. And I feel like that's a sign of getting older, is like you become, sometimes you just become more of a morning person. Like I'm not like a 6 a.m. bitch by any means.
Yeah.
But I like the feeling of like getting up in the morning and making French press coffee and like just enjoying sitting down and like you're clean and put together and you start your day. I don't know.
Yeah. I tend to be, well, I'm definitely, I've never been a morning person and I'm still not. And there was a time when I like wanted to be a morning person and I was like trying to force myself to do things. And then I hated being a morning person even more. but I do like the wind down. So yeah, I go to bed at like 1 or 2 a.m. But I'm also usually lying in bed at like 9 p.m. and turning my brain off. And I've been trying to get better, more restful sleep. And even when I go to bed at like 2 a.m. And I've found that even if I can't fall asleep, because my go-to is just like be on my phone. And I do like being on my phone and like watching videos or Netflix or something in bed. But I've found that something that makes me kind of really happy, and I almost feel like it's making my sleep better, is reading before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be on my phone, but then I'll put the phone down and read, and it makes me tired, and I put the book down and fall asleep. And so that's been a nice little, like, nightly routine that I've been following. But sometimes I do wish I was a morning person, though. And, like, I would love to watch the sunrise with coffee on the porch and not working yet, you know.
I don't know about all that. That's a really morning person. That's waking up at 6. Like, fuck that.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Yeah. It's not going to happen right now. Not in this part of my life, but.
Yeah, I feel
it like. It sounds nice.
I feel like that's more for people who are on some type of, like, spiritual vacation journey and, like, they specifically want to, like, camp so they can wake up on a mountain and look at the sunrise. Mm-hmm. Or like people who have kids and they've got like a legitimate reason to be up that early. Right. But like, I'm not
like, I don't have a legitimate reason.
No, like for what? So that I can feel tired by 8 and want to go back to sleep. And by then it's too late because I need to work. No.
Yes. That totally happens to me on the weekends. Sometimes I end up, this is a very rare occasion that I wake up early on the weekend. But when that happens, I'll get up and do something. And then at noon, I'm like, I need 8 hours of sleep. And then I wake up and it's past dinner. I'm like, what the fuck happened? I don't know.
Oh,
so yeah, I don't know if all this stuff I've been feeling is Lionsgate or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm slightly skeptical because I like just learned about it. But there's other things that, like pulling cards and I do like looking at my pattern. So there's other things that I've been using that I've been doing for a while. And actually, you know, the last card that I pulled, it was a couple days ago, but I didn't understand it. Like it didn't make sense for me at the time. And so I've been trying to think about like, okay, when a card doesn't make sense, like I want to write it down because like maybe it'll make sense in a few days or maybe it'll make sense in a few weeks. Maybe it won't ever make sense and maybe I won't know. But I've just felt off. Like like I'm like a train with like one of my wheels fucking clacking around. Just, I don't know. It's yeah, it's a weird time. It's also, we're in Leo season. And I feel like, you know, after we come out of Cancer season and we've been crying and we're full of love and we've been embracing the Cancer season, then we jump into Leo season, which is like the exact opposite of Cancer. It's almost like shocking to just hop into a whole different vibe. A whole different star alignment.
I know that Leo season is kind of supposed to, I mean, okay, so this is the thing. I feel like every single season as the Zodiac seasons go on, everybody says like, this is a perfect time for manifesting. This sign is the sign. I'm like, it's not always a good time to manifest, but like everyone, like all these people are saying like, oh, it's Libra season, now is the time to make your dreams come true. And I'm just like, this shit sounds so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Like, but the thing about apparently the Lionsgate portal is like the numerology of 8-8, like August 8. It's like supposedly one of the luckiest days of the year to manifest on. I didn't do any manifesting that day. I was laying in bed trying to like make myself stop crying. Like, I felt fucking awful.
Yeah. I did not do any manifesting on Lionsgate.
I hate that.
I have been working on manifesting in the month of August, but I felt like shit on that day too.
I hate the feeling where you are fully aware of like what's going on with the cosmos and you're like, this is a great day to do that one moon spell I want to do, but you feel so sad and you're like, you let the day pass and then you feel more sad because you're like, I just wasted a whole moon phase and I could have
done. Yes. I feel the exact same way. Yes. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Or like, sometimes. So I did not realize this, which is like my own, just I was just unobservant, but I didn't realize until I started practicing witchcraft and like, you know, being into the moon phases and all that stuff, that the moon is not always in the same spot. Why did I not know this before? How did I pass seventh grade science? I don't know. But I was literally, there would be days where I'm like, where's the fucking moon? Like, where'd it go? Where is it? And I have an app that I really like, and it's called Skyview Light. It's a free app, and you can just point it at the sky. You can do it indoors, too, and it'll show you where all the constellations are above you.
I've seen that.
And you can move it around, and you can also look below you, because, like, below the Earth is space and stars, too. And there would be times I couldn't find the moon, so I pull out my Skyview app, like, where's the fucking moon? And I would point it down at the ground, and it's down below me. I'm like, how's the moon down there? I was so confused. So I would get sad, but I was like, man, I want to see the moon. And then there would be times that there was a full moon, and I, like, forgot to put my bottle of water out on the porch, and I was like, I could have had moon water.
Yeah. It's shit like that, and like nobody gets it. No one that lives with you, if you live with people that aren't witches, like, people don't get it. And I'm just so, I know Taylor's listening, so I'm gonna say this shit. I'm so freaking grateful to have her, because I can do shit like that, and this bitch don't take a second look. She's like, oh, yeah, moon water outside. Yeah, cool. Pour some for me, too, bitch.
That's great. That's amazing. That's great. Yeah, Nathan, when I'm putting out stuff, he's like, okay, cool. But he did find, I told Brooke this, he did find I had a bottle of rainwater from the other day. And when I was collecting rainwater, I think some of the gutter, some of the gutter water got in it too, so it was kind of dirty. And he walks past and he's like, Did you pee in that jar?
Yeah.
It's like, no, with my rainwater.
It's gross, though, when you think about it. Like,
there's stuff growing in there.
The fact that it's yellow and that falls from the sky, ew.
Yeah. It's probably pollution. Because I'm in Denver and we have, I mean, I get notifications on my phone in the morning when the air quality is unhealthy. Because it, and that's just the way that Denver's kind of been like, you can imagine that Denver has like an invisible cap over top of it. And just because of the way the mountains are and the way that the weather patterns create, like form throughout the day, clouds and air roll over the mountains and just like essentially put a cap on the city. And so all of our pollution stays down here with us. It doesn't go up into the sky and into the air. Because of the, it's called a temperature inversion.
So you basically just breathe in your own garbage? That's your own cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. So the city, like downtown, I mean, like I can see, I could look at downtown from my apartment and you can see the smog. I mean, it's like LA.
Oh my,
you just see it hanging out in downtown. But when you're downtown, like it doesn't look like that. But when you're not in downtown and you're looking at it, it's like, it almost looks like there's like smoke kind of hanging out around downtown.
Damn.
And it's all pollution.
That's really sad. And it's probably going to get 10 times worse.
I know.
Man, I just heard a big thunder crack.
I really hope my
internet doesn't go out again. That we tried to start this podcast earlier and then all of a sudden my power went out.
You guys have had a lot of storms recently. Oh, I, you know, speaking of storms, so since I've been practicing witchcraft, I love thunderstorms. Also, I mean, I love them anyway, and we don't get that many here in Denver in the summer. We'll get like, sometimes we will get them like every day of the week, but I kid you not, it's no more than 5 minutes. It's one crack of thunder, rain for 5 minutes, and that's it. And that's just like a fucking tease to me. It honestly makes me kind of mad because I'm like, okay, I'm going to curl in my sheets. I'm going to make my coffee. I'm going to put on some TV and I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to paint. I'm going to collect some rain. And then by the time I've literally gone to the bathroom and come out and been like, okay, I'm going to do this, like it stopped. And I'm like preparing to have this nice
cozy
evening under the sheets. And then it stops and the sun comes out and people are like, oh, the sun comes out. And I'm like, no, I want the clouds and the darkness. Oh, in Virginia, I remember, I haven't seen this here in Colorado. I mean, I'm sure there's worms here, but like when it rains, all the worms and the grubs come out of the ground and they litter the streets.
I hate it. Remember when you were in elementary school and you'd go up and down the sidewalks and all the kids would smash the worms? So mean.
Yeah. I would pick them up and put them in a jar and just like walk around with the jar. And then before my mom wouldn't let me bring the worms inside. So I'd dump them out in the grass, but I would just walk around with them in a jar.
Ew. Ew.
I was not grossed out by them at all.
Oh my God. So cool. You were one of those. Ew. That was not me.
And I would pick up the grubs too, and they bite. And they're like these little inchy. Have you know what a grub looks like? They're like a tiny little, I mean, it looks like a booger with 20 legs, you know, and teeth.
What?
Yeah, what? They bite.
Hold on. Did we live in the same town? No.
Yes.
No,
they
I
were
never,
literally don't, all over the
don't
place.
You dare show me a picture. I'm going to be so mad. I'm putting my hand up.
I know.
I'm not
going to. Okay. It looks like a white caterpillar, kind of, but like more boogery.
I never saw these boogers on the ground.
Okay, you don't want to. No. I'd pick those up too. And I'd like literally carry them in my hands and they'd be biting my hands. And I like didn't give a shit. I don't know.
Girl.
I don't know. I was crazy. I wouldn't do that now.
That is sick and wrong. You're also the same person who would go out in 1 degree weather with flip-flops on.
Yeah, I was fucked up.
You're like, Oh man, 11-year-old was crazy. She was crazy. Those were some good times, but 11-year-old me was crazy.
That's hilarious. Yeah. But I fucking love storms. I almost feel like, so whenever there's a storm, I wanna, like, those are the moments that I wish I could be like, feel my power. Like, I just wanna be like, let me absorb it all. Like, I just fucking love it. And I'm like, clash in the sky. Like, I just, like, I don't know, my mind starts to wander when there's a thunderstorm and I want to be like, rain down, and then it doesn't. But
it always reminds me of Coven. Like, I think, well, maybe not Coven, maybe Stevie Nicks. I feel like whenever it rains, if I'm thinking, yeah, like TV shows or, you know, certain types of witchcraft or witches that would pull off that kind of like electric energy in the air, I always think of the White Witch. Stevie Nicks. Yeah. Play me some Fleetwood Mac.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah, when it's thunderstorming, I just want to channel my inner Stevie Nicks. And then I'm always let down because Denver has 5-minute thunderstorms.
Yeah, well, you know, count your blessings right now, because
I know y'all are flooding.
Yeah, like Richmond's fine as far as I know, but it definitely looked a little bit rough, like back home where we're from. So
yeah,
good thoughts.
Crazy shit.
Yeah, it's sad. Good thoughts to everybody in Stanton. I feel really like that's stuff like that is so shocking because, I mean, we grew up in America. We are Americans, and this type of stuff happens to people all over the world, and you never hear about it, and then it happens here, and you're just like, it takes 2 minutes, a 2-minute rainstorm to destroy a tiny town.
Yeah.
Insane. And, like, we didn't get a hurricane here. We got the aftermath, just like Hurricane Katrina when we were kids. All we got was the aftermath, and that was terrifying. So imagine getting a full ass hurricane.
Yeah,
like a whole, like you're on the coast of like North Carolina or something, and you get the whole shebang, house ruined, lose everything. Like, I can't even, that's one thing I'm scared if we move to North Carolina next year. Like, if we move to the beach, I'm terrified of like storm season, because I mean, yeah, it's real, but people down there are so damn used to it. Like, they,
oh yeah, yeah, when I lived in Norfolk, I mean, you know, they have evacuation sirens and they have these guardrails that like will come down and block roadways so that you can't get onto the interstates, because the interstate usually leads to a tunnel that goes underground. That's the only way to like get out of Norfolk, I'm pretty sure, is to go through the tunnel underground. So in the water. And it was very normal to like, oh yeah, we were evacuated, you know, 6 months ago in the last rainstorm. And you're like, what? I only lived there for a year. I didn't get used to that.
By the way, for anybody who doesn't understand what she's saying what other people refer to as Norfolk or Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Everybody argues with me about it. Everyone's like, no, it's not Norfolk. I'm like, okay, you know what? A real Norfolkian.
Norfolkian. Oh my God. I was literally nobody. That's like, that is like one of the banes of my existence, coming back to fucking Waynesboro after living in Norfolk. And they're like, just, that's not how you say it. And they made fun of me for saying Norfolk.
I just, oh my God, when I'm editing this, my wheezing laugh, I'm gonna die. Did you just hear that? That was so atrocious.
That was great. That was great.
You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, Norfolk, Virginia, on the coast. It's right. It's very close to North Carolina. I actually got stuck in a hurricane the only time I have been on the coast. Well, actually, so it wasn't the coast. I was in Orlando, Florida, and it was like a hurricane back in 2016 or 2017. It was 2016, because my job, I just got a job and they were flying me out to Florida for training. And the day before I was getting on that flight, we knew there was a hurricane, and I was like, hey, there's gonna be this hurricane while I'm there. I don't really want to go, and like I had to go anyway, and I got stuck there in the middle of a hurricane, and it was terrifying, and I was just stuck in a like a Quintana or something in Orlando, Florida.
What the hell is that?
Oh, it's a hotel.
Oh, see, I was thinking about that Travis Scott song, and I thought Quintana was like a gun or something. Oh, no. I was like, you got stuck in a gun?
It's a hotel. And, I also remember during that hurricane that I looked outside the hotel window and I saw a kitten, and I ran out to get it. And, there were police officers that were guarding the front door of the hotel, and they wouldn't let me out to get the cat. And it was a pet friendly hotel. Like, I totally could have had it in there. Is that normal? Is it, do police officers just guard places when there's hurricanes? Like, is that thing?
Apparently.
I was like, what the fuck? Why are there police officers in the front door? And they wouldn't let me.
It doesn't surprise me, honestly. Like, they're probably just trying to cut down on accidents and people getting hurt and shit. But if I were you, I would have been like, that's my cat.
Let me the fuck out.
Let me out of here. That's my fucking cat. Did I tell you that I accidentally shaved off half my eyebrow?
No, I can't tell.
Yeah, because I put that shit back on.
Oh, that's cute.
I did, though. It's like from right here.
Uh-huh.
Like here.
Just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip. I just.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
The good thing, though, is my friend Rose, I told her about it. Okay, so we were talking last night on FaceTime, and I was like, dude, did I tell you that I accidentally shaved off the tip of my eyebrow? And she was like, okay, see, I kind of thought that's what happened, but I didn't want to say anything in case you meant to do it on purpose. I'm like, no, I did not mean to look this stupid. Like,
oh my God.
Like, really, when I like take my like eyebrow makeup off and like eyebrow gel, like, it's very noticeable, and I don't really know how I did it on accident. I think I was high, but like, it'll grow back. It's just going to take like probably 3 months.
Yeah. That's great.
So embarrassing.
I have done that before. Not like the end, but I was shaving the hairs because I have one of those little eyebrow shaper razors, and I go like underneath and above, and I was above at the arch, and I made this really weird slit.
Oh,
like in my eyebrow, which, and this was a little while ago, which now that's like, I mean, it's not a trend. I don't know. I've seen it. The slit in the eyebrow.
People think that it's a trend, but I'm pretty sure that's like a gang thing, and it means that you killed somebody, just like the teardrop. Like, if you have a slit in your eye, it's like an eyebrow. It's supposed to be like a symbol of some kind of gang activity.
Really?
Yeah.
And I've also heard that I don't know if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's also like in the gay community. I don't know if you're bi or if you're lesbian, you like put a slit in your eyebrow so that like other people know that you're bi or you're a lesbian.
Oh, I could see that.
But I'm not really sure. I definitely did that to myself on accident. I was afraid that I like almost dropped that fucking razor in my eyeball.
Yeah. I'm pretty sad that I did it, but it'll grow back.
It'll grow back.
Just hair.
At least you didn't pluck it. It'll grow back.
Yeah, that would have been a lot of hair to pluck. And that would have had to have been really clean. Like, I shaved it clean off.
Oh.
Like, it's off. Like,
we did a good job filling it in.
Hopefully it
didn't even notice.
Hopefully it comes back like normal. I don't know. I've never done anything like that on accident before. So like, I'm kind of worried. Is it going to come back like all like stumpy? Like, what's going
to
happen?
I don't think so.
Oh man.
Yeah, at least you work from home and you don't have to like, you know, if you don't feel like filling it in the morning, you don't have to.
Yeah. But sometimes I'll be, you know, like I have like a habit of like when I'm talking, like touching my eyebrow a little bit for no reason, like literally for no reason. And sometimes I'll be doing it over here and I'll feel where it's fucking bald. And I'm like, God damn it.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure.
Just add it to the list of things that you did in quarantine. shave my fucking eyebrow.
Yeah, but this was an accident, so I'm not even, like happy about it. Like, I'm not even, like, proud of my, like, I just fucked up. I don't know how, like, and I even, so the other day Taylor was here, and I was like, I accidentally shaved my eyebrow off. I don't even know if she noticed, or if she was even gonna say anything. Like, are my friends just, like, not gonna tell me when I be out here looking crazy? Like,
oh my god, that's hilarious.
Okay,
I have totally let mine go, and I'm just not plucking them at all anymore because I don't give a shit. That, you know, that's what I have learned over quarantine, is to give less shits, and it's nice. I like it.
I really just hope that it grows back in, man. I've been like,
Brooke's Googling. Like, her Google history is getting
me. Can my eyebrow grow back? How long will it take for my eyebrow to grow back? If I shaved it, will it grow back?
That's fucking hilarious.
But anyways, so let's just like talk about what we actually wanted to talk about to today's episode, which was this starseed bullshit that is going around the internet. And I'm sure some of you have probably seen it on Twitter, like people reposting this TikTok of this girl talking about like starseeds are different. They have different energy than other earthlings. Because of this, they typically get diagnosed with mental illness and blah, blah, blah. And like, I know some of you guys follow me on Twitter, and I definitely have retweeted plenty of stuff, like, laughing at this woman, because what the fuck? But essentially, if you don't really know what the whole starseed concept is, it's basically a way for people to otherize themselves as, like, an excuse. Like, they want to be seen a certain way, and it's kind of like a pass for people with mental illness, or like it's a pass for people who are being fucking narcissists, just the same way as like the empath stuff. And like, I think you brought up like the whole Shane Dawson deals, like how he would call himself an empath and like, you know, slap a label of sociopath on other people, and he'd be like, oh, I'm an empath, it's because I'm an empath. Like, I don't feel like empaths talk about being empaths.
No. No. I mean, I don't know. And being like, yeah, that was the first person that I thought of. I haven't watched him in a long time, and we were talking about this because there's just, he's kind of a disgusting person. But I do remember when I was watching his stuff, I just remember, like, that was something that I remembered about him, is how often he said he was an empath. But I think he's, you know, I think he's actually pretty narcissistic. And I think that sometimes, and it's hard for me to understand a little bit how narcissists can, like, sometimes, it's like, do they really think that they're an empath, or are they just kind of saying that? Like, I almost can't get in the headspace and understand it. And just, you know, they can use it to be very manipulative. And I feel like when narcissists claim to be empaths and they're being manipulative, they're doing it to other empaths. Some, you know, not, maybe not all the time, but it's just almost hard for me to understand. And with all the things that came out about Shane Dawson and his past, and, you know, just who he really is, not when he's editing his own videos and planning things out and stuff like that. I mean, there's no way he's an empath.
No, and he just, I mean, I really don't want
to. There's a lot of shit.
I don't give him any more of a platform than he already has. That man disgusts me, and like, I'm just gonna totally just derail that. But like, he is a good example of some, like, a person who wants to act like they're so in touch with the other feelings of people, and like, they understand what other people are going through because they can put themselves in their, like, I feel like you can be empathic, but to call yourself an empath and to keep reiterating it on social media and in your videos and in your podcast and on Twitter and whatever, you're looking like you're just not like, you're looking for someone to be like, wow, that is just really a woke ass person, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's just, at some point, it's like, you're making someone else's problems about you. You're not being an empath. You're not, like, feeling their feelings. You're just making it all about you. And a lot of people did that with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. People who were not, like, persons of color, they would turn around and say things like, I feel your pain. Like, I know that I'm not Black, but, like, I'm...
You want to be like, shut the fuck up, Nancy.
You're like, yeah, that's the point. Like, you're not Black. You do not feel right. someone's pain. You can
right.
you can observe someone's pain, and you can understand that they are in pain, but don't say that you are feeling it with them, because you're not. And so this whole starseed thing. So if you look on Gaia.com, there's a huge article about what a starseed is, and, like, if a starseed is different from an indigo child, you know, like, that was, like, a fad a few years ago, people calling themselves indigo children.
Yeah, oh, I remember that.
Without truly knowing what that even meant. And, I mean, they're both really fascinating topics. And
oh, yeah,
it's sure. such a shame that people are, like, that the term starseed is getting dragged through the dirt and made fun of because of yeah. people who want to categorize themselves that, when in reality, you don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I haven't done that much research on starseeds. The only research that I've done, I was kind of prompted to, like, just look at it when I got that Oracle deck that we both have. Because the artist or the creator has another deck, but it's like a starseed deck. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And do I have any idea if people's previous past lives have been otherworldly? I have no idea. And I'm not here to cancel it and say that's absolutely impossible, because I believe that it is possible. I just have no idea, but I do agree that people are kind of on social media, yeah, just kind of dragging it through the dirt and changing its meaning, and yeah, making it self, I don't know if self-centered is the right term, but yeah, it's just...
It's very like, look at me. I'm very otherworldly. Yeah. I'm ethereal. I have all the answers to your problems because I've been right. here hundreds yeah. of times. It's just like, yeah. You know,
right. Like, technically, I think we're all otherworldly, okay? Because, like, we've all had multiple lives, and I think we've all spent time in the in-between. Unless it's your first time here, then hey. But, but I think we're all otherworldly. I do understand, like, wanting to embrace that kind of ethereal mindset or lifestyle or the aesthetic. Like, it's pretty, and I totally get it, but it's almost become an Instagram aesthetic. Yeah. Like, that's kind of what it's become.
Yeah, and a lot of people are just setting their self timers and then running to the back of the room to make it look like they were doing their morning yoga, and someone else just snapped a picture of them being zen, and like, no, like, unless you're teaching your audience how to do a certain yoga pose, just don't even lie. But anyway, so on this website there's a shit ton of different types of star seeds, and a lot of these words you'll recognize from one of those Oracle decks, the Work Your Light Oracle deck. And also, mm-hmm. I think I named my Animal Crossing island after one of these without realizing
it was
starseed. So there's Sirian, which is funny because the Lionsgate portal has to do with Sirius. I didn't, yeah, so there's that. There's Pleiadian, Arcturian, Andromedan, Indigo, Crystal, and Rainbow. Lightworker, Orion, Feline, Maldek, Lemurian and Atlantean, Avian and Blue Avian, Reptilian, also known as the Lizard People. See, and that's another thing. People think that starseeds all are like these good healing light workers, and that's not true. The Lizard People, people call Hillary Clinton and Justin Bieber lizard people. Yeah. I would categorize them as starseeds, but like lizard starseeds.
Yeah. So before I knew anything about starseeds, and I had just gotten that Work Your Light Oracle deck, to this day, my most drawn card is the Mintaken card, and that is a part of the Orion starseed, or a part of the Orion belt. And do I 100% believe that I'm a Mintaken starseed? Not 100%, but I really, really resonate with that card. And I think that card has a lot to do with problems that I have in this lifetime. And I just have this huge feeling that it's like something that has followed me in past lifetimes, because the Mintaken card is about never feeling like you have a home, but because your home has been taken away from you. And the story behind the Mintaken is their planet, I think, was overtaken by somebody else. I don't know if there was a war, and the little, very, very little research. I mean, I haven't done extensive, any kind of research, but, and that the Mintakens had to leave because their home was destroyed. And so forever, the Mintakens feel like they're always homesick and like they don't have a home. And I just felt very strongly with that because I've had to move so often, and I had to abruptly like leave my home for a tragic reason, and kind of felt like, okay, cool, I don't have a home now. something that I'm not renting. And it took me a while to realize that it doesn't matter if I'm renting, it's still my home. Like, and it's taken me a while to figure that out, but you know, all my friends like had, you know, they live in their apartments, but like they had their home to go home to. And that bothered me for a while, that I couldn't like go home to something. And so I think that card, I feel like it's something that has followed me. I just have a feeling that it's something that has followed me in past lifetimes. Like, I don't know if I'm a starseed. I don't know if that I'm specifically from that. And even if I'm not, that card still just has a lot of meaning to me. But that is my most pulled card in that whole deck, hands down.
There's a summary at the end of this article, and it says, while it might be interesting and exciting to imagine that starseeds are more evolved than Earth's human beings, which right there, I think that's why some people really want to identify as a starseed, because they want to be seen as like woke or enlightened, you know, everybody gets hard over that. The truth is that any of us can expand at any moment. A starseed might have the ancestry that points to expansion, but they may or may not have the intention to pursue their highest self. It's easy to become distracted by the latest spiritual systems or the most charismatic spiritual media stars. It's even easier to want to leave our lives and bodies so that we can transcend the universe and become everything, everything being capitalized. So I just feel like with social media and like, you know, there's these little communities that are growing and growing that have to do with spirituality, like the pick a card community on YouTube, astrology community. Like, I would definitely consider myself part of the astrology community.
Yeah,
for like sure. People pick up on these things, and it's like they take a tiny little bit of information, go make a TikTok about it, saying like, are you this is how you know that you are 100% a starseed. You feel alone, like no one understands you. You feel like killing yourself sometimes. I'm like, okay, this could all point to mental illness too. So like, don't push a spiritual awakening agenda on someone who might just need to see a therapist.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
For sure. Yeah. And I see tons of those types of TikToks, and I totally agree. And I think sometimes it's both. Like, you very well may be going through a spiritual awakening, but you also may very well need a therapist during your spiritual awakening, because it is fucking rough. It is not skipping in flower fields by any means.
No, so it's a lot of shadow work.
Yeah. And that is something that I wish was, if I could like ask to see more of something in the witch community, it would be about still going to get professional help. Because I see a lot of TikToks, like, if you feel this way, or if you feel this way, then do this, or this, or this, or you could be experiencing this. And, like, I totally agree about some of that stuff. But I also need a therapist. And there is nothing wrong with that, with going to get, and even if you need professional, like, medical help, even if you need to be on medication, like, that's okay. You know, I like to use my herbal teas and things to make me feel better, but sometimes you need a therapist and sometimes you need medication, and that's okay.
Yeah, and you don't, like, a lot of people, I feel like, write off therapy or medication, and they're just like, no, like, I don't want to depend on anything to make me feel normal or like a human being should. Like, it's not fair that I got handed like this shitty card where I need medication to get through the day. And, like, you know, I've never been on medication for depression. I've been very close to thinking that I needed to, but it scares me because some of my like closest friends have been on it, have been on like Zoloft or like whatever. Yeah. Prozac, whatever, and just seeing like what it does to them, it just makes me scared to even try it for myself. But it's like people look at medication and they're like, don't buy into big pharma, you can heal yourself through spirituality, and like, y'all, that is like that's not always true.
Yeah,
it's seriously not. Some people just have really big chemical imbalances in their brain, and when it comes down to it, I would much rather be on medication and feel like I wasn't truly myself for a while rather than commit suicide. Like, I don't want to ever push some stupid agenda where I want make people think like you're less of a spiritually awakened person because you need medication to get your shit together. Like,
and I think it's also very valid to be afraid of the medication too, because I've also had friends that have been on depression medication and it did not, like, they had to get off of it because the side effects were worse than dealing with their depression. And so, and I think that's something that is great to talk about with your therapist, is like, hey, I'm afraid, like, I think I need medication, but I'm afraid to take medication, because that's a normal thing too. And your fears might be very right. Like, that could be your intuition saying, hey, I'm depressed, but like, I don't, you know, maybe you don't need it. But like, I just made my first appointment with a therapist at the end of this. It's going to be towards the end of this month. And I haven't seen a therapist since I was a teenager, and I've put it off for a long time. But I really see the benefit in seeing a therapist. And something, like, if I have one suggestion, it would be just to, and I guess this is harder if you're in a small town, because I have so many options to pick from when it comes to therapy. Especially right now, though, therapists are doing virtual appointments now. Like, I'm not going to go in person and see a therapist at the moment. And I can guess that therapists that never did virtual appointments before, they're probably going to keep them even after COVID, because there are some people that can't, like, it's a privilege to be able to drive across town Tuesday during your lunch hour. You know, not everybody has that ability, and they work the same hours as a lot of people work. And I specifically looked for a therapist that, like, she's a professional and she has a doctorate, but she is also a spiritual person herself. And so I looked for someone who, like, potentially who's going to understand me and what I tell them when I tell them about the things going on inside me. And when I bring up witchcraft, because, like, I'm going to talk about that. It's like my life, and it plays in with my belief systems. And, I really don't mean offense by this, but I almost got paired with a therapist who, like, I mean, on her main page, she was like, I'm a Christian therapist and I will help you find your way to God. I don't want that in a therapist. I want somebody to, I'm not looking to convert to anything. And so, like, she looks like a great therapist, great credentials, but I went and purposefully found somebody who I just think is going to understand me. And she put on her profile that, like, spirituality is important to her. And it was very big. It's not like, she's not like, this is the one way. But I wanted to talk to somebody who was open about it and who wasn't gonna, I mean, you think your therapist wouldn't think you're crazy. Well, maybe they do, but I just didn't want someone who would be like, oh, you know, that's not real. Or I don't know. I just didn't know what to expect from, I just felt that a Christian therapist who very much appeared on her website to say that I help people using Christianity, that was not for me.
I actually saw a Christian therapist for a really long time while we lived together. Mm-hmm. And she's based out of Waynesboro. I'm pretty sure she's still there. I still recommend her to people. Huh? Emily Schlechta Thomas.
Okay. I saw a Christian therapist in Waynesboro too, but it wasn't her.
But, like, my grandma was the one who had found her for me because I was just, like, I needed someone. And I would see her once a week, and I stopped going because I could not afford it. On a waitress, like, that was too hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would probably never go to a Christian therapist or anybody related to any kind of religious sect at all.
Yeah. But yeah, not just when I, like, any religion.
But when I was younger, I still was very, you know, anti, like, I don't want to talk to a Christian therapist. I don't want to, you know, I don't want anyone pushing their religion down my throat. And it's not for me. I don't believe in any of it. However, this woman never once pushed that agenda towards me ever. She never talked once about Christianity. She never talked about the Bible. She never recommended me to lean on anything like that. And I remember one time I was talking to her about our apartment, because mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like when we moved in there, we brought so much sadness and, like, so much pain with us that the apartment felt haunted. I remember telling her when you were gone to Denver for Christmas, so I was there by myself, and I remember that it was like the minimalist Christmas tree with the blue lights.
Mm-hmm.
It was like downstairs. And I remember telling her, I go downstairs, like, if I'm sitting downstairs near that tree, I just feel really alone. I feel like freaked out. I know that, like, Rose isn't there, but I still feel like somebody's there with me. And this is how I knew that she was, like, she wasn't going to, like, shove anything down my throat, like, having to do with the Bible. Cause she mentioned auras, and she was like, you know, sometimes when you go through something traumatic, like, that trauma and those emotions can, like manifest as, like, almost an entity of sorts. And maybe that's, like, what you guys brought into that apartment with you, is just, like, a deep feeling of just sadness and, like, loss. And, like, that's what you're left feeling. And that's what you have in your company when you're by yourself. And she was like, it's just like, she was asking me, like, what color it felt like. And I was like, it just feels very blue. Like,
that's awesome. Because that was honestly my biggest fear, not just having a Christian therapist, but yeah, just anybody. I didn't want to find somebody who was going to shove a religion down my throat. And, like, that was my fear. But, like, that therapist, like, that's how therapists, personally, I think that's how they should be. I totally get, like, if you want to choose to go, if you are a part of a religion and you want to go see a therapist who actively uses that religion to, like, help you and you talk about it, like, I totally get that. But as somebody who doesn't associate with religion, like, that was my fear.
Yeah.
But that's really awesome.
Yeah.
I would ask about auras and energy and That's
I
really
recommend
cool.
her to like all of my friends back home that need to see a doctor. And obviously, you know, like doctor-patient confidentiality, she can't talk to them about me, but yeah. Each one of them go in there and they're like, by the way, Brooke says hey, and they say that she smiles and she says she remembers me, but like she doesn't say anything else. Aww. Obviously, but I just think it's like neat because I feel bad. I canceled my last appointment with her because I couldn't get out of bed that day, and then I just never rebooked it and I never saw her again. And that's like, yeah. Really, so I know she understands, all therapists I'm sure understand, all good therapists know that sometimes your patients just like can't get out of the bed, but like,
yeah,
that was that was her time that I like wasted pretty much with that. And it's just like, that's another thing. That's why telehealth is so great, because imagine the amount of people who don't get help because it's too much for them to get out of bed.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah. But you could be like, you know, laying in bed under the covers with your head on the pillow and FaceTime.
Exactly.
You know,
that's very intimate, but
yes,
I would do
it. I will fucking do it. I think, and it's sad that in the United States, therapy is a privilege.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, because we're all fucked up. And it sucks because therapy is not cheap. Like, and I get it. Like, those therapists are totally worth what they're charging. But it's just the fact that not everybody has health insurance. And even when you have health insurance, sometimes, like, you know, we're paying lots of money for health insurance a month, and it's almost, you feel like it doesn't cover anything. And it, like, that can be more depressing because you're like, I need therapy, but I can't afford it.
Yeah.
And all I can say is if there's any way you can't afford it and you think you need it, like, definitely go do it, because therapy is amazing. And where we grew up, I don't know if you ever felt this. I mean, therapy was a very taboo thing. I mean, my mom was the only person who ever talked to me about therapy and like wanted me to go. Nobody else in my family has literally ever mentioned the word therapy, and I know they all need it. Like, it's just, I don't know. And I didn't learn about therapy in school. It was just kind of a taboo thing. And maybe it's not just that town. Maybe that's a whole culture thing that, I mean, the fact that like my company out here, like, we can take mental health days. Like, I mean, how many years ago, like, what do you mean a mental health day? That's stupid. You know, like, that would have been the response a few years ago.
Yeah. Like, suck it up and go to work.
Right. Yeah. So I think we're moving in the right direction. And I think the people we vote into power will help us. But it's just, yeah, we need to, enough with this like pull up by your bootstrap shit or whatever that fucking saying is.
Yeah, like the suck it up buttercup type of shit. Like,
right. No. Okay, sorry. Excuse me, boomer. You were able to buy your family a house on minimum wage 60 years ago. I don't want to hear it, pull up by your bootstraps. Okay, like, that's.
I saw on Twitter this morning that apparently the whole COVID thing has set people in our age bracket back even further than we were, because we were still struggling from the first recession.
Yep.
You know, and like,
yeah.
When you think back to like, God, how old were we when there was like the job market had crashed, everybody.
Oh, it was 2008.
Yeah.
So we were in the eighth grade. We were in like middle school, about to be in high school.
And were things just recovering like in 2019 and then all this happened, or like had things already recovered for 8 years or something?
I think things were recovering. I remember watching like TED Talks and documentaries about, and it was about millennials and designer things specifically, and how our generation were kind of the first generation to purchase more designer items. And there was a theory that it's because, you know, we grew up and went through this economic crisis. And like, I remember my mom not knowing if we were going to have money to pay the mortgage 1 month, and we were penny pinching for food. She was donating plasma as many times as she was like allowed to every single week, which I think was 2 or 3, just to like get grocery money for us to eat. Yeah. Like, it was bad. And then when things started recovering and we were getting jobs, there's like this theory that millennials, like, even though we went through this crisis, we also kind of have this mindset of like, you know, every now and then I want to treat myself. Even if I'm not filthy fucking rich, every now and then I want to treat myself. Cause like, we didn't get to do that. We didn't see our parents do that. But we also, I mean, like, not every millennial is like bad at saving by any means. I think for what the cards we've been dealt, I feel like millennials are pretty good, but like, we're just, every now and then millennials like definitely do treat themselves on things, and the economy was starting to get better, and now it's in the shithole again.
You know what I'm so tired of is everybody who continues to say on social media like shitting on people who are 28, 25, 28, whatever, and haven't purchased their first home. And I'm just like, okay.
Let's break it down.
A lot of people our age are still in college, don't have any business buying a house when they're not even going to be living long-term in the area they're going to school. A lot of people don't have jobs right now. A lot of people don't know where they want to live. So why would they buy a house in the area they're kind of living in for a couple years? Yeah. And it's just like, it's the same thing as like millennials are having, like less and less millennials are having children because
we can't afford to have them. We cannot afford to have them. And I think like another thing is this whole like millennials are taking forever to buy a house. Millennials aren't having kids so young. This all centers around money. And the thing is that I think we are the most educated generation right now. I'm sure Gen Z might surpass us. But right now we are the most educated generation. And a lot of us were very privileged to go to college. And, you know, I'm looking for a new job right now. And so I'm on Indeed and I'm on these job boards and I click on something that I'm like, oh yeah, I look qualified for that. And it's like bachelor's degree. Absolutely. Like you have to have that master's degree preferred plus 5 years experience and like this whole list of shit. And then I see the pay is $15 an hour in Denver. And I'm like, that makes me sick that we have worked so hard to go to school and the cost of everything has gone up except wages. And you're just, and like, I totally get working from the bottom, like starting from the bottom and working your way up. But when your student loan payment is 3 times the amount of a rent payment, yeah, no wonder people have to live at home because their whole paycheck at their first few jobs is like paying off their student loans. And it's all like, I'm for higher education. I'm doing it myself. I will always be for that. And for if you don't want to do that, but it is a fucking scam at the same time, like interest rates. And I have a friend who got her bachelor's degree from JMU. And she actually, her name's Kayla too. And she graduated 2 years ago. She's never missed a payment. And her payments, her student loan payments are more than my rent in Denver. And last time I spoke to her, which was like a month ago, she owes more right now, like $12,000 more than when she started paying. And she's never missed a payment. And she pays like $2,000 a month for her student loans. What? And now she owes $12,000 more because she's paying the minimum payment because that's all she can afford. Oh. But interest rates are so high, she owes more than when she started paying. Like, it's a scam. I mean, I'm for education, but like, that's not cool. That makes it so that people will always be in debt because we did what we were kind of told to do. Go to school.
Yeah. I don't see myself really ever getting my master's unless I know I can pay for most of it up front because I don't know where we're going to be the next like 5 years, but like I got out of college like lucky because most of my education was covered by the government because I was adopted by my grandmother. So I was shit. What was I considered? Cause she adopted me. So she's old enough that she's been on Medicare for like a while. Like she, you know, and they're not going to force someone who's on Medicare to pay out of pocket for their child's education. So the only reason that I owe anything at all is because I fucked my FAFSA up my senior year.
Yeah.
Which put me, what, $5,000 in debt, which is literally nothing compared to what other people have to pay. I have a friend who went to college and she owes like, I don't know, dude. The last time I talked to her, I think it was like $85,000 or something. And like, there's people out here that owe way
100 plus,
way more than that. And it's just like, I was just talking to Taylor about it the other day. Like some people's student debt is so large. They like disassociate from it because it doesn't even seem like a real amount that they could ever owe anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I briefly went to the Art Institute of Colorado before they scammed me and shut down. They are a literal scam, but there are kids there who degrees there cost $100,000 plus. And I have a friend who I was talking to right after the school closed, and she, you know, like when, if you get a loan for something, a lot of the times there's like a calendar and you can see the exact date. Like if you pay this much every month, like it shows you the date that you're going to be done paying it.
Yeah.
Even if that's 10, 30 years down the road, whatever. Her date, if she paid the minimum payment, which was expensive as fuck, she would not, like, she won't live long enough to pay it off because it's literally like gonna take her 100 years. The calendar's like, okay, you'll be done paying this in 20. Wait, what are you gonna say when it's the year 2150? Yes. Yeah, you'll be done paying this September 3rd, 2150. You're like, cool, bitch, I'm not even gonna be alive.
Cool, bitch.
You know, like, she had a graphic design degree. Like, come on, man.
It's disgusting. Just like,
and she's gonna make $65,000 a year or something. Like,
but when you make $65,000 a year, even after taxes come out, that's still just like $50,000, which for a
family, in Denver, that doesn't is like go far. No, in Denver, if you make $50,000 a year, I mean pocketed, so you make $65,000. You actually pocket $50,000 a year, you still have to have a damn roommate.
Yep.
You can't live on your own.
Yep. Now in Virginia, it's not like that, obviously. However, still, if you gross income 60 to 70,000 per year, you're still only coming home with about 50 to 58, 59 thousand, which, okay, so that's great. But then you think rent, car payment, might have a kid,
the student loan payment,
health insurance, student loan payment, which if you are clocking in that you're making that much per year, your student loan payment is probably going to be $400, $500, $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Something outrageous. I don't even know. See, this is why we lean on witchcraft. Okay. Because we need to manifest some coin into our life to pay for our fucking debt.
Yep. I've done it. Do it. I highly suggest it.
Man, speaking of which, I have to start using all these spell candles that I ordered because I got a shit ton. I got like 50, all different colors, and I've used
two.
Yeah.
I've
used two. And I keep
them. I got like a similar spell candle. I think I got like 20 or 30 of them. It was off Amazon. And I have used quite a few of them, but I don't have... they're like they're kind of skinny. They're not birthday candles. They're not tea lights, and they're not the tall ones. Like, they're an interesting size. They're spell candle size. If you have spell candles, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't have something that perfectly holds it. And, like, it has tipped over while being on fire before. And that scares me.
What? I get, like, a little tiny pot or, like, container, and I pour sugar or salt. And then I stick the candle in it, and it holds it.
Oh, that's genius. Okay, I was like, so I don't use them as often, because I have other candles, too. And I'm just like, I have to be very, very careful, because it could tip over. I have a cat. I have a dog with a vicious tail that clears off coffee tables. And I'm just afraid, like, I'm going to light my apartment on fire.
Break broken paraphernalia.
Yeah. Yeah, she always breaks my paraphernalia, too, with her tail. So that's a good idea. Yeah, because I'm like, they don't make candle holders that are spell candle size.
Yeah.
Not that I've found.
I think
I could probably, if I looked hard enough on the internet, I'm sure I could.
Etsy is a wonderful place to get spell ingredients. That's where I buy, like, all, when I had herbs before the dog ate them all, that's where I would purchase them from. I always feel like, when I put, like, if I stick my candle in sugar or something, that it kind of, like, infuses the spell with, like, sweetness. Or, like,
I like that.
Extra pizzazz. I also, even though when a spell doesn't call for it, I sprinkle cinnamon on the candle just because it smells really nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should necessarily do that, because cinnamon is used for, like, you know, love spells and shit like that. But I don't have any reason to be casting a love spell. I got my mans. I don't need a
love. Let's see. I've definitely used cinnamon in something that wasn't love related. What was it? No, it wasn't banishing. I have used cinnamon in things that were other than love.
I don't know. Did we have anything else we wanted to talk about today?
I don't think so. I think that wraps it up. If you made it this far, thanks for listening to our rant. It's been all over the place, but that's how we feel. Recently, that's how we felt.
Yeah, that is how.
And we're just making it through life right now, man.
Yeah, it's really just like all I can do to comb my hair in the morning right now. So honestly, it's a pretty large feat to sit here and have a 2-hour long conversation. Like,
yeah,
guys,
it is.
We are emotionally taxing ourselves for you.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't want to say that, because this podcast is not a burden. I don't ever want it to feel like that. I'm just extremely tired, and I just finished my period, so I'm just, like, very exhausted. But
yeah, yeah, I feel it.
So we're going to go ahead and close this out. Rose, I don't know if you wanted to sing them a goodbye, since you sang them a hello.
I don't have a goodbye song. The hello song. This is the hello song I stole from I've just heard that before, that welcome back. It might be from Hello Dolly. That's something that's I think it actually is a play that my grandma likes. And I just remember hearing that song in my grandma's house all the time. So unfortunately I don't have a goodbye song for you all. But
we can just say peace out, witches.
Peace out. Witches.
Peace out, witches. All of our links to our podcast social media, podcast Instagram. We don't have any other social media platforms. It's just Instagram. Shit. Our Instagram will be down below somewhere in the description. If you can't find it, it's at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. Send us a message. Go like a picture. Follow us. Tell your friends.
Say what's up.
All the good stuff. Say hello. We will respond. Yeah, I don't know shit else to say, dude. I think I'm about to go wash my ass and go to bed.
Me too.
All right, well, then whenever you are listening to this, I hope you have a good day. Or if it's at night, sweet dreams. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. Bye.
Bye.